action. Well, hey there, movie kings and queens, and welcome to episode 23 of the Real Gay Movie Show. Woo! I'm your host, Mike Lovins. And with me, as always, is the delightful, delectable, delicious Ryan Provost.
Mike, I know we only do this once a week, but it really, for some reason, this week feels like it's been so long since we've chatted.
It really does. It feels like I've just been like longing all week to see you again.
I know. Like, the last episode was so long ago. I can't even remember what we talked about.
You know, it's almost like the magic of digital delay means that I can listen to last week's episode and it's almost like they're back to back.
I know, but it's not.
But it's not.
So many things have happened since we last recorded. We went downstairs and then we came back upstairs.
We refilled our glasses.
So real talk. When you're listening to this, Mike is on vacation. He is out west. Like Feifel. So we recorded this episode right after the one you heard last week, and that's what happened.
Yeah, so we care enough about you guys to not let a whole week go by without giving you another episode of this show.
Or we hate you so much.
We are subjecting you to another episode of this show.
So, sorry, and you're welcome.
That being said,
I say the same thing after sex. The official sound of the Real Gay Movie Show.
All right. So we are going to do a little something special, though, for this episode.
A little different.
Last week's episode was special because we reviewed more than one movie.
We reviewed a lot of movies. I'm tired, Mike.
But this episode is going to be more of a look back on the first half of this year.
Yes.
A little more casual.
A retrospective.
Right.
Well, here's the deal. A lot of people wait till the end of the year to look back on the year. And then I feel like they really just focus on all those movies that come at the end of the year, because those are the movies that get all the Oscar love, usually. Those are the movies that get all the prestige. And, you know, the first half of the year, they deserve some love too.
Right. Absolutely.
For sure.
And this has been a good first half of the year, I think.
It's been the best first half of the year of the Real Gay Movie Show ever, I would say.
Ever.
Ever. And the worst.
I'm so glad we refilled our glasses.
Yeah, I'm drinking some delightful champagne to toast.
And it's not in a can.
It's not. I upgrade.
Yeah.
It's in glassware.
If people are curious.
Or bi-curious.
About what I'm drinking tonight.
Booze.
It is Southern Comfort, 100 proof.
And no, he's not drinking me.
I'm soaking you all in.
My first stripper name was Southern Comfort.
I believe it. I 100% believe that.
In that I am Southern. And when people describe my body type, it is comfortable.
You just like showing off your Georgia peaches.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ryan, why don't you give everybody kind of a taste of what we're going to be, how we're going to be doing this.
I'll give them a little nibble. So, we came up with some categories that we were going to discuss, just some things that we thought would give a good retrospective on this first half of the year, kind of some of our thoughts, some highlights, some lowlights, some in-between lights on just what we think about this year, some of our favorite things, maybe some shade will be thrown.
Maybe a little bit,
but just give you an idea of where our heads are at, you know, halfway through the year.
And given that we kind of got started, you know, in February, there had already been some releases. So we may actually be talking about some movies that came out before we started the podcast. We might also be talking about some movies that maybe we saw this year that didn't necessarily get into the show. So this could be anything that had been released so far this year.
Mike and I have seen a lot of movies. Actually, real talk. So I keep track of what movies I saw on the little app that we both use, Letterboxd.
Letterboxd, yeah. Yep.
And I saw 33 movies last year. So far this year, I've seen 28. So thanks, Real Gay Movie Show.
Yeah, right?
I spend a lot of time in a dark theater now, and it's not for the reasons that my pastor told me I would be when I came out.
Well, it's one dark room or another, you know, you're...
Yeah. Yep. So, so we've seen a lot of movies. Not all of them have made it into the official reviews of the show, but we may bring some of those up too. For
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So where do you want to get started?
Why don't we go, I'm going to let you're the host. You decide.
Okay.
I can't decide.
Fine. I tell you what, kind of like an award show. Let's start with best male performance.
Ooh.
I can think of a couple.
Oh, you mean in the movies?
No.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Audible clank. We're both taking a sip. Just let it happen. Ew.
I swallowed.
We're drunk.
We need to do more drunk episodes.
Yeah.
All right. Best male performance.
Okay.
So, mine.
Yeah.
Is Nick Robinson from Love, Simon.
Same.
Really?
Yeah.
Aw.
Aw.
When I, you know, when I reflected back and there really were a lot of really good performances.
Yeah.
When I think back, just what that movie meant to me personally, and just the performance that he gave, and just how real it felt, it made it right up to the top of the list for me.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some others in contention. I think I think Chadwick Boseman from Black Panther,
yeah.
Michael B. Jordan from Black Panther certainly come to mind. But when you think of just all around performance, especially, I mean, he really carried the movie.
Right.
I think he did such a great job of, especially for someone who's not actually gay.
Yeah.
In real life, of giving off a really authentic portrayal of what those emotions are like for a young kid struggling with their sexual identity. I thought he did a really good job. And that performance definitely, I think, is borderline iconic for me in terms of performances I think of.
Yeah. And I think, too, just seeing, like, the press junkins that he did, you know, it wasn't... Yes, it was a role for him, but it wasn't just a role. Like, you could tell that he had conviction and really believed in the message that he was putting out there through this movie.
And I think of any performance this year, this was certainly the most, like, breakout performance.
Yeah.
Like, of any male performance I saw this year, I mean, Chadwick Boseman already doing great things, has already had...
He would certainly be my runner-up.
Right, some breakout performances. Michael B. Jordan... already a superstar. Nick Robinson is now, of all the people I saw this year, the person I saw who now I'm like, ooh, I want to see what he does from now on. Oh, I think another runner up for this could also be John Krasinski in Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Also a really great
Absolutely.
Performance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is a good segue into the best female performance.
Okay.
Because I went with Emily Blunt from A Quiet Place.
Okay. Yeah.
I there again, lots of great contenders there, but her performance just really stood out to me.
Yeah. I mean, and she could have a big year because she saw Mary Poppins Returns coming up later this year.
Right.
Which will be a hopefully very different performance than this.
Right. but like Sicario was not one of my favorite movies this year, the sequel. And I'm pretty sure that she passed on returning to that movie so she could do A Quiet Place.
Good choice.
And I'm so glad.
Yeah, she's really, really good in that movie. I mean, both of them, Krasinski and her.
Yeah.
For a movie where they're not performing with their words very much, it's a lot of emotion through physical performance and their facial expressions.
Yep.
They both do a really great job.
Like, I just rewatched that movie again recently, too. And the whole, like, her going into labor and having to hold from screaming and stuff, like, that was just amazing acting.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, for sure.
So who was yours?
So before I say who mine was, I have a very strong runner up.
Okay.
Yeah. So my runner up was Toni Collette in Hereditary.
I was wondering if she was going to come up on your list.
Yeah. So she was so great in that movie, but the only performance that topped that one, and that one I think is Oscar nominated worthy, was Daniela Vega in A Fantastic Woman.
Okay.
I mean, the entire movie is about her. I know technically in like the Academy Award categories and everything, that movie was last year, but for me it was very much this year. Okay. So I'm counting it as this year.
All right.
Because that's the only time I got a chance to see it.
Technicality.
But yeah, A Fantastic Woman is an amazing movie. Really, really good. It's probably going to be in my top 10 of the year. And it's all driven by her performance. We talked in a recent episode about trans actors not getting chances to show that they are superstars.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was her showing that she is a star, and I hope that this launches even more opportunities for her in the future, because I want to see her in more things, and not even just playing a trans person, but I want to see her playing anyone. She can do whatever. This was, I hope you get a chance. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it.
I didn't think
yet.
You had. Yeah. I hope you really need to see it. It's such a good movie, and it is 100% driven by her performance and just her presence on screen. She does a amazing job. So yeah, she narrowly beats out Toni Collette, and I think Toni Collette in Hereditary is top-notch acting.
Yeah,
just so good.
And to be honest, I mean, so did I tell you I saw Hereditary? I think
you
I
did. Tell yeah, you. We talked about it.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas I didn't come away from that movie the same that you did, but I will 100% agree that Toni Collette was amazing in that movie.
Oh yeah, she acts her chops. Like she knocks it out of the park. So to say Daniela Vega is my top female performance of the year, I think really says something, because that performance, both of those performances really stick with me.
Yeah.
I think Daniela Vega though edges Toni Collette, because I mean, the movie is literally called A Fantastic Woman. It's all about her. Right. And she really does carry that movie.
Okay.
For sure.
So keeping with the performances.
Yes.
Let's talk about our favorite supporting performance. Now, this could be a male or female.
Male, female, creature, background scenery, whatever.
Wait, creature? I could have gone with Chewbacca.
You could have.
Oh, well, I did.
You still can.
I am not going to change mine. You've actually mentioned this person a couple times already, and I'm going with Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther.
Okay.
Would you consider that a supporting character?
Sure. I think you can say that.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I mean, because I really think Chadwick Boseman is the star of the
movie.
Well,
it's called Black Panther, and he's the Black Panther. But, so yeah.
I mean, if you consider Michael B. Jordan the villain, sometimes I'm not sure if that.
No, I yeah, Go with it. Roll with it. Yeah.
I'm going with it. Fuck it. It's our show. I can say what. but he was just so compelling in that role. And coming out of that has got me more excited to looking forward to Creed 2.
Yeah, I haven't seen Creed 1.
It's
really
good.
I need to. I hear it's awesome.
It's, you know, if you encompass it in that whole Rocky franchise, it's one of the best. But I kind of feel like it's actually its own franchise. It's just kind of an offshoot. But anyway, after the whole Fantastic Four thing, I was actually kind of turned off to Michael B. Jordan for a little bit. Like that whole cast, just the everything involving that movie kind of turned me off for a little while. So I'm really glad to see, you know, him come back and be able to kind of redeem himself in the comic book genre.
Yeah.
It's too bad that character doesn't get to continue on, spoiler alert. But anyway.
But what a great death scene.
Right.
A really great death scene
that had meaning too, you know?
Yes, I loved it.
Great impact. So, yeah. All right, so that's mine.
I mean, if the award was for most boner-inducing performance, then yes, Michael B. Jordan would have been it for me. But I'm going to stick with Black Panther for mine.
Okay.
And go with Letitia Wright, who plays Shuri.
All right.
And I guess both Black Panther and Avengers Infinity War. I love that character.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Is so funny, so adorable, so great. I think Marvel does a really good job with a lot of their side characters. But of all the side characters, I just find her to be, she's the one I would want to actually hang out with in real life most, you know?
Absolutely.
And I love how she is portrayed as like the smartest person in the Marvel universe, but she's just a, you know, what, teenage girl.
Yeah. Just a feisty, late teens, early
20s. Feisty, yeah. Snappy, fun, jokester kind of, like,
right.
Just a great personality, great, and she brings it to that performance. She really steals the movie in a lot of ways. Every scene she's in, she certainly steals.
Now, is it the character or the actress that you'd like to hang out with?
Both. Totally both. She's great. So I love that performance. I think of all the supporting performances this year, it's the one that certainly sticks out the most as being the most memorable, the most fun, the most just the one. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Well, we support Black Panther and its supporting actors.
I know. I think at the end of the year, our biggest regret, not regret, because I think we started the show at the right time because we needed the time, but
right.
I know one of our big conversations was, do we start in time for Black Panther? Because we were starting this conversation right around when Black Panther was about to come out.
Right. And we had these ideas of what we wanted to do before we started talking about movies. And then...
but the timing just didn't work out. And then
Red Sparrow ends up being our first
Red
movie.
Sparrow was the first one. It's going to come up in the conversation. Don't you worry. But yeah, so I'm sad we didn't get a chance to sit down and fully just talk Black Panther, but I'm glad we're giving it some love now.
Yeah. Well, given that, you know, you could kind of say that Black Panther was a big surprise this year, what would you say is your biggest surprise of this year, good or bad?
Yeah. My biggest surprise, I'm going with the good side of things.
Okay.
Was A Quiet Place.
Nice.
Yeah. I love that movie. It is really, really great horror.
Uh-huh.
We've had a couple really, what I would consider great horror movies this year, in A Quiet Place and in Hereditary. But A Quiet Place was just such a surprise. I remember seeing all the trailers for it, and I thought this could be utter garbage, especially because, I mean, before Mission Impossible, it was the trailer I was the most sick of. Now I barely even remember A Quiet Place trailer because I've seen Mission Impossible so many times. I thought this could be truly terrible, and I just remember loving that movie. I loved that movie going experience so much. just how you could hear a pin drop in the theater. I just thought it was really creative and unique and different, but also very much reminded me of like kind of Hitchcock and some of the classic horror.
It definitely had that kind of classic suspense horror kind of thing.
For sure. Just like any moment something could happen. Very visually engaging. Just not at all what I was expecting.
You know what's funny is, so you know this, Pete is not a big horror fan.
Right.
And I got him to watch A Quiet Place.
Yeah, what'd he think?
And he was like, I can't believe you're going to make me watch this. And so he ended up really liking it. He was glad that he watched it.
Yeah.
And he kind of compared it to the scares of kind of like a Jurassic Park kind of a creature feature. And
yeah.
And I, if that's what made him feel good about watching the movie, I'm going to go with that. But you know what's funny is, so we watched that at home. And do you remember when we first started the podcast, we were in a different room and like the furnace would come on.
Yeah.
Well, that was,
we were in the dungeon,
right? We were in the dungeon. So that's where we were watching this movie. And, cause I had to chain him up to make him watch it. And you know, when you saw it in the theater, those exceptionally quiet moments kind of added to it.
Right.
Well, I missed that watching it here at home because the furnace would kick on.
Right.
And you wouldn't hear that subtle difference between, when you hear how the daughter's hearing through the filter of her hearing aid and then, how everybody else hears and stuff. And that just made me think about how great that was done then in that movie and that theater experience.
Yeah. This is a movie. If you didn't get to see it in theaters, I think it just came out on like Blu-ray and DVD and everything. If you didn't get to see it in theaters, you really missed out. Yeah. It was such an experience.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so great. I think this movie, so I remember, I think a lot of people are still really high on it, but do you remember Signs, the M. Night Shyamalan movie? I think this is what Signs should have been.
It's what it could have been.
It's significantly better. It is everything that movie could have and should have and wanted to be.
Signs was really good, though, up until the very ending. I liked it.
Whatever.
I liked it.
But yeah, so that was my biggest surprise of the year. What about you, Mike?
So mine is actually a movie that we didn't review and talked about it a little bit in one of the episodes, but Upgrade.
Yeah, I remember you really liking that one.
Yeah, that one is one where I watched the trailers and thought, that looks like utter garbage. That looks horrible.
Yeah.
And honestly, I couldn't have been more wrong. I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
I still haven't seen it.
It's
honestly, every time I see, because I feel like it still plays like once a day at the theater.
It might be.
And I'm like, Mike really liked it. I feel like I should see it. And I just still haven't because, like you, I don't know. I just, something's pulling me away from, I feel like I will once it comes out and I can watch it at home, but
yeah. And that's fine too. It's not necessarily one of those movies where like,
but I'm glad it's your biggest surprise.
Yeah, it really is. And, it's fun too, that it's a movie that we didn't get to talk about, you know,
for sure.
All right. So I tell you what, let's move on to, anybody who listens to the show regularly knows that at the end of every episode, we like to give our takes.
Oh, yeah, we do. We do takes.
We do takes. So, kind of thinking about all the takes that we've given over the course of the first half of the year, let's kind of get into what might be our highest or lowest take, however you want to look at it. Let's start with our gayest take. Our gayest take.
My gayest take, I love comedy. I love comedies. And I love that of the comedies we've had this year, it hasn't been all the like straight male comedy driven kind of year.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of ladies.
Yeah.
And I've really liked that. So we've had quite a few female-led comedies, whether it was I Feel Pretty or Book Club or Life of the Party or Blockers. I really loved just how female-driven, I know it's not necessarily gay, but like it's been fun to see a really female-driven comedy year. I don't really think there's been a lot of male comedy that's been, I mean, at least more prevalent than any of those movies.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed it. I think it's been great to have strong female comedic voices.
Of course, there's Tag. We haven't seen that.
I've heard it is horrendous. Absolute trash. And that makes me happy because I've, you know, to varying degrees, I think I Feel Pretty is fine. It's not great. It's good. It's okay. I think some of the others have been a lot stronger. But I've, through all of them, I've had a good time. I've really enjoyed them. And I'm glad that that's the kind of comedy we're getting in 2018. Yeah. I think it's very, very indicative of the moment we're living in. And I'm living for it, for sure.
So, not only is it a gayest take as far as you're a homosexual rating the take, but it's also very happy.
It's very happy. I'm so happy with it.
So it's not a specific performance. It's the in general female performances in comedy that have happened this year.
Yeah, seeing non-straight male led comedy.
I gotcha.
Has made me happy.
Okay.
And excites my gay self, Mike.
Fair enough. I stuck to the script and actually went with one of the movies, but...
Wow. I didn't know we were already on Shadiest Take, but okay, take it away, whatever.
So I kind of went through and looked at all of the gayest takes that I'd given in
our reviews. Oh, and you picked your gayest take?
Yeah. And what stands out to me, again, comes from Love, Simon. And it's the college dance scene to the Whitney Houston song. I tell you, that is really fucking gay.
It was.
It really was. And to use your terminology, I'm living for it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yes.
It was fierce. It's
what we all want.
Like, I wish I could have had a moment like that in my life.
Now, if you're going to keep drinking all that Southern Comfort, Mike, you're gonna get invited to...
Oh, I want to dance with somebody.
You're going to get invited to a frat party, play some cornhole or some flip Listen, cup.
This is not... some crappy beer out of a keg.
It's the next worst thing. I'm gonna drink my champagne. Wow.
All right. Well, you brought it up. Let's talk. No, I'm no. I don't want to go there yet.
Okay. Where do you want to go?
Let's go with our
paint a picture.
With our knowest. No Ma'am performance.
My Noah's No Ma'am was actually not my No Ma'am of that movie.
Okay.
But just in thinking about all the performances and how much I actually like this particular actress.
Okay.
I have been very disappointed in the fact that she was in such a bad movie in what I think has been a really fun year for movies. So I'm going to go with Jennifer Lawrence in Red Sparrow.
Okay.
Just because she hasn't been in anything else. Yeah. Right? And so the fact that her only credit this year has been in that garbage trash movie, and she is a really great actress who I enjoy seeing on screen. It just makes my heart so sad, Mike.
You know, what's funny is, so when I was looking back at things, I can't remember if this was the same for you, but I know for me, for that particular movie, she was who I had said slayed.
I don't know if I said she slayed. I don't remember if I said she slayed, but like, But I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I know that I did. And just based on, you know, when you're only rating things in that specific movie, then yeah, she slayed. But I can't argue with you as far as like that being an ultimate no, ma'am, just as far as, yeah, for as talented as she is to have taken that role and to not have elevated that movie to.
Right. That's your mark for 2018 so far.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's in anything else this year, but, and truly, I mean, her,
and she's not going to, and
her big role in 2017 before Red Sparrow was Mother, which was my least favorite movie of that year.
Yeah.
I mean, she has not had a good track record.
Well, and as far as I know, the next thing on her docket is Dark Phoenix later this year.
Oh no. Wait, I thought that got delayed till next year.
Oh, maybe it did. That's right.
Oh, thank God.
That's right.
Oh, praise be. So, sorry, J-Law.
Yeah.
Well, you made the decision. You should say sorry to us. Yeah. So, there's that. What about you, Mike? Who is your no-ma-am for 2018 so far?
Mine is still... Oh, my God. It's amazing to me how many people I've heard praise this performance. And it's amazing to me how I did not see what they're talking about.
Me in bed?
Yes. I've yet to see that.
And I don't know what everyone's talking about. It seems horrendous.
No, ma'am.
No, thank you.
But it's Julian Dennison as Russell / Firefist in Deadpool 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
My
really comes from people have been saying it was good.
Yes.
Oh.
Believe it or not, I have heard several reviews where people have talked about how great of an actor he is.
Okay.
And
I think he was my no man of that movie.
Yeah, he was mine too.
Yeah.
And just it was enough that, I mean, that was like my least favorite thing, period, about that movie. I don't know. I just, that performance, I just thought was just not good.
In an otherwise really good movie.
Right. That's the thing is that, like, I feel like that movie could have been even better than the original one without him in it. All right. Let's get to our shadiest take of 2018 so far.
Shadiest take so far. I feel like this has been a pretty gay year. We've had Love, Simon. We've had Fantastic Woman. We've had some really great...
If you're going by your logic with Fantastic Woman, you can also say we've had Call Me By Your Name. Because
we've had some great gay performances. But as gay of a great year as 2018 has been, we've learned this year that Oprah is not always the answer. And throwing her in Wrinkle in Time did not make it a good movie.
Not everybody gets a movie.
Not everyone gets a movie. And hey, I'm not saying Oprah can't be in a movie. I'm just saying she can't just be some 20-foot tall woman standing around watching people fly on lettuce monsters. That's not what a great performance is. And people have gotten viscerally angry when I suggest that Oprah is not great in A Wrinkle in Time, regardless of whether or not they've seen the movie. So I just thought I'd throw some shade at Oprah because I can.
You have the form.
Yeah, they don't. Oprah's not always the answer, people. She's not. If you're going to put her in something, it has to be interesting. She has to be good, and she wasn't, and it wasn't. So
they don't have to all be the color purple.
But Wrinkle in Time, it was so bad, and there were a lot of really talented people who did not make it better. And she was the tallest of all of them, digitally speaking. So
digitally speaking,
she gets all the shade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shame on you, Oprah. And I love you and I want to meet you.
On the red carpet of
you
a better
do
movie.
Not get a car. Oh, so yeah. That's my shadiest take of 2018. What's yours, Mike? Your shadiest shade.
Okay. you had to guess one subject matter that...
Star Wars. Oh, God. Here we go.
So.
Buckle up, everyone.
You'll remember... You'll remember the beef I had over this.
Oh, God.
And theatrically, this is the shadiest take of the entire fucking year so far.
Is it that there are no gays in Star Wars?
No. Now that you mention it, though.
Oh, I thought you were about to open up that can of gay worms.
Nope. It does involve Star Wars.
I figured as much.
It involves the Solo movie.
No, I figured as much.
And it's Han Solo getting his fucking last name from a goddamn Imperial.
Oh, my face hurts from laughing at that. Okay.
So many things
you already
have
this
been
once.
Right.
You're doing it again.
What?
It's great. No, keep going. I'm loving it.
I'm reflecting on what we've talked about this year.
I know. I'm loving it. I'm living.
So many things were done right. But this, my friends, I am here to tell you.
Oh, she's getting angry.
Ron Howard, you could have made a better movie if you'd taken that out.
No more Southern comfort for you. This is a lot.
that was my Southern Baptist coming out.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've slept with a few Southern Baptists who came out. They're bad in bed.
Yeah?
Yeah. The power of Christ compelled them to be terrible at sucking dick.
Well, you know, it's hard to suck dick when you're throwing Bibles.
I'm done.
I meant when you're thumping Bibles.
Yeah, okay.
You're still done.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are moving on from that.
Anywho. So you can tell.
I can tell.
How much that bothered me.
I can really tell how much that bothered you.
So. Yep.
For sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're alone. I'm going to call you. Solo.
No! There's another bad Star Wars reference.
No!
Okay. Let's, okay, do you want to, if we break down our top five lists, would you rather start with your bottom five?
Oh, we're doing our...
Or your top five.
We're doing five of each?
We can do it, we can do shorter if you want. I prepared five. I did homework.
I just said my best and worst. How about we do three? Okay. Let's cut it down the middle. Let's do top three and bottom three.
So I went through and I basically just like looked at what my reels list were.
Okay.
And to the movies that I went ahead and rated reels wise.
Okay.
Movies that maybe we hadn't talked about.
Yeah.
So I could, get them in there. So, all right, let's start with your top five.
No, let's do the... No, oh, bottom. One, we're doing three.
Okay.
Two, we're starting... We're starting like I always start end of a night. Starting with the bottom.
The bottom always comes first. Got it.
Yes. I know you haven't been gay long, Mike, but that is always the rule. The bottom always comes first.
There we go.
Yep. Okay. So we're starting with mine?
Sure.
Okay.
Because, never mind.
Okay. So, my third least favorite movie of the year so far is actually one that was not released theatrically.
Okay.
But I'm counting it. I didn't hate it. But it was not good. It exists in a universe that I find very interesting. But this movie just did not do it for me. It did not make me more interested in this universe. I want to see more from it, but this movie just didn't do it.
Power Rangers didn't come out this year, did it?
Stop. And that would be The Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it came on Netflix earlier this year. I saw it and was, as the year has gone on and I have seen other movies, I thought, yeah, that was not a good one.
Okay.
I see why it did not get its theatrical release and got dumped on Netflix. Yep. For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. A movie that was so bad that the movie company that was going to produce it and put it out in theaters said, nope,
nah,
it's not good. And then the Cloverfield people said, hey, we'll make it into a Cloverfield movie and throw it out on Netflix. And they said, sure, why not? Sure. So they did. And then they threw in that last scene and that's the only connection to it. And there you go.
There you go. I have not seen it.
Yeah. So
I probably won't.
My third to least favorite of the year.
Okay. Well, my third to least is Sicario: Day of the Soldada.
Really? You seemed to kind of like it when you reviewed it?
Kind of, but if you're going by... Okay, so here's the thing.
You give every movie three reels.
No. I gave it 2.5.
2.5.
And the other movies that came in at the bottom that I gave 2.5 were also Pacific Rim Uprising, which we didn't talk about.
Right.
And Jurassic World. And when I thought about the three of those, actually still... Sicario was actually the more disappointing to me.
Okay.
Because I liked the first one so much and I really hoped that this one would be better.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
What is your number two of your three?
So we didn't rate the Cloverfield Paradox because I'm the only one who saw it and it was before I think we ever... even we're doing the show, I would have given Cloverfield Paradox probably a 1.5 stars. Okay. So these last two are the only two movies this year that I would give one, not stars, reels.
Reels.
It's down brand Ryan. So these are the only movies I have given one reel to. We have reviewed both of them. And this movie was the very first movie we reviewed. And that's Red Sparrow.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I actually just had a friend who texted me today. I asked him if he wanted to hang out last night. He said no. He was just staying in with his boyfriend, and they were watching Red Sparrow. And this morning he said, you know what? You were right. It's so bad. I don't know who that movie was made for. It is not appealing to anyone. It is a waste of a great actress in J-Law.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bland. It's emotionless. It is such a waste of time. It has a good, like, part of it, that whole, like, spy training camp where they're trying to help these potential spies devoid their emotions from their work, I think was really interesting. And had that been the entire premise of the movie, I think that would have been, you know, kind of cool. But the direction they went was just not interesting at all to me. It was bad. It was so bad. Poorly executed. And I don't know who would have found it interesting is the worst part. There's some movies that I think are bad that I'm like, well, I could see how this type of person would go see it and like it. I can't tell you a single person I think would like that movie.
Yeah, even the diehard J-Law fan.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No.
If anything, especially them.
Yeah, yeah, probably right. Well, so my bottom two had the exact same rating, so I'll go ahead and just say that one of mine is also Red Sparrow.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
No need to go deeper into that one.
Nope.
Something tells me our last one might be the same one, too.
Let's say it at the same time, Mike. 3, 2, 1.
A wrinkling time.
Time. It's so bad. It's so bad. I cannot believe how bad this movie is. It is one of the worst theatrical experiences I have ever had in my life. And it's so much more disappointing knowing that Ava DuVernay, who is a great director, directed it, and Disney, who has been killing it with movies through Star Wars, Marvel, Pixar, their original animated stuff, everything they've done lately has been so great. How they produce this flaming garbage pile of trash is beyond me.
You know, though, I think we may have talked about this a little bit when we talked about A Wrinkle in Time, but Tomorrowland was a miss for them too. And I feel like it's, if it's not based on an animated story or not an animated story or Star Wars or Marvel, Disney's not doing that great.
Did you say if it's not based on an animated story or a not animated story?
Well, I mean, like,
isn't that everything?
No. Well, I mean, like, if you know they're doing the live action remakes of animated movies.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, I got it.
I'm just saying, no, because then A Wrinkle in Time and Tomorrowland and, you know, are examples of movies that are outside of all of that stuff that haven't really hit.
Well, yeah, I just, it's just
the more recent Pirates movies.
Yeah, I don't know what this movie was trying to do. I don't know who it was appealing to. I assume it's trying to appeal to people who read the book. I am not one of those people.
Yeah.
But if this is what the book was, I can't imagine that those people have much taste.
Or if the book was phenomenal, they're probably watching this movie going, what the fuck did you just do to my beloved
story? I would hope so, because just like with Red Sparrow, I left this movie thinking, who was this for? It didn't seem like it was for children because it was not fun.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was for adults because it was not interesting. I just don't know who would watch this movie and think, yeah, I want to do that again. You know, it was bad. It's just so bad. The acting was bad, which is saying a lot because they had such talented actors.
That's the thing that I find the most disappointing about it is the cast versus the end result of the movie.
And watching the trailers, I was actually really looking forward to this movie. I thought it would be rated much higher, and that's probably what makes it a little lower for me than Red Sparrow, is because when I went to Red Sparrow, I went in feeling like I was not going to like that movie.
That's fair.
And it got confirmed for me. Whereas this movie, I thought, this might be really great. I'm really excited to see what this is all about. And I hated it. I hated it so much.
Well, let's get away from all this negativity, man.
Let's stop being so negative.
Let's go over our tops. Find me a good top.
Well, I don't know if it gets much better than this, but my third favorite movie of the year is one we did not get to talk about. We've talked about some already today, and I love Black Panther.
Yes! Preach it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's on mine.
In a year that we have already talked about when we talked about Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think this was the strongest year for Marvel movies. This one really stood out culturally. It made such a huge impact outside of, I mean, anytime a movie can really interject itself into the cultural zeitgeist as much as this movie did, you know you have something special. And considering that the Marvel universe is 20 something movies deep now, the fact that this movie penetrated as much as it did, stop being so immature. You are too old for this. Says a lot. It came and made such a huge splash. I don't think people expected it to be as big as it was, and I loved it. I loved it. It's one of the rare movies I saw more than once in theaters. It's because I thought it was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. It's 100%. It's on my list too.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you include Black Panther, I gave a total of 4 movies 4 reels.
Okay.
Because I did go ahead and rate that one 4 reels on my own. So when we're talking about our top 3, then I had to decide then which of those 4 reelers gets cut.
Yeah.
So I've made that decision. So like I said, I agree with you, Black Panther. So the next one then on my list is Avengers Infinity War.
That got cut or that?
No. That is, cause I'm not going to go into more on Black Panther. So,
okay.
So I'm going into to then what's on my list. So,
okay.
Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
Of the comic book movies that came out this year, especially from Marvel, man, both of those are just amazing.
What a 1-2 punch, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and Avengers kind of tips the scale a little bit over Black Panther for me, just because of the culmination of everything that's...
Sure.
That's led up to it. And the fact that we have, you know, the resolution of that movie coming in a year... is extremely exciting, and the fact that it was just so good that it's just like, oh my god, give me that second part right now. You know what I mean?
Who's immature now? Me.
Give it to me.
Give me your second part now, daddy.
I want all of it. Tell me the whole story now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my second one, so second on my list of the year so far, is A Quiet Place, which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
I thought it was very much a huge surprise. I really loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun, very creative, one of the most unique movie-going experiences I've had. And I just love what... Hollywood is doing with the horror genre lately, getting really creative.
Reinventing it in some ways.
Reinventing it, but also paying homage to what real amazing horror in the past has been. Like I said, this really reminded me of Hitchcock at his best, with the suspense and the visuals. I think I really like that a lot of bigger names are coming to horror. A lot of times you think of horror as being someplace where just like B-list actors and directors go, but really it's been a lot of bigger name people going and doing horror movies lately. And I've really enjoyed that. Yeah. And A Quiet Place, I think, is just the pinnacle of what that genre can be.
Well, it would have been on my list if we'd stuck with five.
but we didn't.
So all right, no, that's a great one. But shouldn't be much of a surprise, but as much as I've, you know, just doubted over this movie, Love, Simon.
That's your number one?
That's my number one.
Yeah, same. It's my
all
number
right.
one too. Woo-hoo. High five. Yep, we're gay. And that's that.
And you couldn't have asked for...
Well, and actually, before I get into that, my other four reels, I gave 7 for reels this year so far. My other four reels so far have been A Fantastic Woman. It goes into July. I know you said don't talk about July, but sorry to bother you. RBG, and then Avengers Infinity War, and then my other four reels. What about you? What were your others? You said you had five? Four?
I had four. So
four?
My one other was Incredibles 2.
Okay. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So, Incredibles 2 and A Quiet Place were the next two on my list there. But
yeah, let's talk. So Love, Simon. I mean, the episode is out there. You know, we love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's our most listened to episode.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there are a lot of people out there that agree with us.
Yeah. It's just such a good movie.
It really is.
Yeah. And it's one of those movies that I know will not be nominated for awards and all that kind of stuff, but it's just, I think personally, the movie I think I will revisit the most from 2018 so far.
Right.
Just because of what it means to me.
And I remember before Call Me By Your Name and Love, Simon had before either of them had come out, I was much more looking forward to Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done the audiobooks for both of them, so I knew the stories of both of them, and I was still looking more forward to Call Me By Your Name. But after seeing the movies, there was just something more real, and Love, Simon just spoke to me more, I think, on that, on the human level.
And that's exactly it. You know, we talked about the Oscar movies, Oscar nominated movies. And for me, I think Call Me By Your Name is striving to be a piece of art.
Right.
Whereas Love, Simon is striving to connect to its audience. And that's the difference, is Call Me By Your Name doesn't want you to connect to it. Call Me By Your Name wants you to appreciate it.
Appreciate it. That's exactly the word I was going
to
use.
Love, Simon wants you to be there with it. And that's more of what I love. I love just being there with that movie and connecting with it on a personal level and going on that journey with those characters and remembering my own journey and that entire experience.
It's certainly, no matter what your coming out story is, it's certainly much more relatable.
For sure. And it's funny. The performances are really strong. It has the most memorable scene of the year for me with Jennifer Garner's speech.
Yeah.
Talking to Simon about him being his authentic self. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's that movie that I think more than any other movie so far this year, I would, if I was scrolling through Netflix or anything, I would just put on and drink some wine and watch.
Yeah.
It's the movie that if someone told me they hadn't seen it, I'd be most excited to show to them. It's just that movie that embodies what I want from a movie.
And the drama teacher.
Oh my God.
she was one of my top contenders for best supporting performance.
That's a good one.
I just didn't want my list to be overrun by Love, Simon. yeah, just such great performances.
I know. And every movie that comes out this year that I really love, I keep thinking, yeah, but it's not as good as Love, Simon. And I'm like, oh my God, is no movie this year going to be able to top it for me? And who knows, maybe when the Oscar kind of movies come out, maybe then something will, but I just don't know.
Right.
I mean, I felt the same way last year, to be honest, about Baby Driver. I loved Baby Driver.
Such a good movie.
And I thought, well, surely when the rest of the movies come out this year, it'll, something will pass it. And nothing did. I ended the year and it was my favorite movie. And I kind of feel the same way about Love, Simon. I will be shocked if something surpasses Love, Simon for me, then this really will be an amazing year for movies.
This will be the first year in at least 3 years that my favorite movie at the end of the year isn't going to be a Star Wars movie.
Oh, the things that shock us.
I know, right?
And that is not one of them.
And it isn't even because there was lack of Star Wars movie
there. Yeah, there was one. It existed. Well, cool. Great.
All right. Well, that covers everything that I had to discuss. Anything else that you want to throw out there?
Well, listeners, y'all, I want to know what you think of this year so far.
Praise be. Yeah.
What are your favorite movies? What movies do you hate?
Are we off our rocker on some of our picks?
Yeah. What do you think of some of these things? Send us your list of best performances. Who slayed? No, ma'ams. Your gayest takes.
Which one of us you want to sleep with? Wait. No? Okay.
I've gotten too many vulgar messages about that.
I'd like to read those on air.
But yeah, let us know. We want to hear from you. So let us know what you think. We'll be happy to share some of your thoughts, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, everybody. We love you. We know that you love us. So get out there. Find us online. At Real Gay on Twitter, at Real Gay Movie Show on Instagram, like us on Facebook. wherever you're listening, give us some feedback, and or feel free to connect with us at realgaymovieshow@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. So anyway, for the first 6 months of this year, and from Ryan and from myself, have a real gay day.
Mike's in Utah. Pray for him.
Please help him get home safe.